Thank you. The idea for this topic came because for many years I've listened to my colleagues in ag economics and marketing, and I'm actually applying those principles to myself and my programming and extension. So I'm marketing my programs. So that is the product. So I'm from Mississippi State University, and I thought I'd put a little map in here because I love those You Are Here maps. Whenever you go traveling places, they say You Are Here. So there's New Orleans. Mississippi is directly north, and the experiment station I work at is just south of Jackson, 2.5 hour drive. So success in extension, how many people here are in extension, either partially or fully? Almost everybody. And your success is, as an extension specialist, faculty, agent, area agent, is based on holding successful programs. So of course you need excellent content. That goes without saying. Excellent speakers, topics carefully chosen, really good attendance, funding to hold excellent programs. You may or may not need external funding, depending on what type of program and the scale. Managing your budget, your outputs, outcomes, and everything else that goes into your grant proposals and your quarterly reports, final reports, and always evaluations and feedback to improve your programming in the future. But going back, none of these can happen without excellent participation, which means attendance. So we're talking about getting people to come to your programs. Promoting your programs. Traditionally, we've all used all or most of these newsletters, and this is hard copy versions that are mailed and emailed versions, direct hard copy mailings, which means anything with a stamp on it, magazines, newspaper listings, direct email, sent, like having your own list where you send out to your own email list, and then list servers where you people subscribe to your list that you can create or somebody else has created. More recently, web pages, blogs, and all of the various social media that you're checking right now as we speak. Just kidding. What do all these have in common? Can somebody think of one word that unites all of these? One descriptor.
Communication. Words.
Words. Something else I'm looking for. More related to marketing and economics. The word is free. These are all free. Every one of these is free. And this is what extension people have always used. Market your programs for free. Look for the free way to do it and hope it works. Hope we get a lot of attendance. So how about these? How about TV commercials? How about radio advertising, magazine advertising, big box ads, promotional ads in social media, email ads, and website ads? These are, conversely, compared to the last slide, these all cost money, real money. So why don't we do more of these? Well, they cost money. So we'll get to follow through that in a minute. But marketing your programs is like marketing your horticultural crops. And these are terms I've learned from my marketing colleagues. Develop a logo, use it consistently, differentiate your program. Why should people come to your program versus another similar program in state or out of country? How is yours better or different or both? Decide on your target audience. When you're advertising, you're not advertising, you're not dropping things from an airplane to get everybody. You're going after a specific audience. Getting the word out far and wide, and promotion and advertising needs to be creative. You have to think of all different ways you can reach your target audience. And then another thing is using your own ag communications department at your university, whatever it's called. Every university has one, and they can help with things like press releases, radio spots, TV segments, PSAs, and this is public service announcement, not the kind that men over 50 need to be concerned with. And then promoting via your colleagues should not be forgotten, because your colleagues in other states have their own networks and they can help you promote your programs to their clientele. So my case study is with the Greenhouse Tomato Short Course, a program that I've been doing for 26 years. It's a two-day seminar training on how to grow greenhouse tomatoes and other greenhouse vegetables hydroponically. It's a national conference. It's in its 26th year. It's averaging about 100 participants. The range has been 80 to 165 over the years. national exhibitors, a greenhouse tour. The tour and meals are packaged into the registration, so people pay one fee for everything. And attendance has averaged 25 or so states each year. So, number one, develop a logo. And I have the Greenhouse Tomato Short Course logo here on the right. I thought I'd throw in another logo for another program that I coordinate, the Fall Flower and Garden Fest, which is in October. So the logo gives people an immediate visual image that helps them identify the event with the content. And using it consistently helps people associate the event with its value and successful history over the years. So this is assuming you're doing something long-term, not just one shot. This is my print advertising that I've done for many years. Here's the example of the ad from this year. And this ad was in American Vegetable Grower magazine. And what I've done with them is put it in January and then repeat a quarter page ad in February. It's a little cheaper, serves as a reminder. And then this year for this project, I've also put it, the same ad in Tomato magazine. You know, what magazines are you going to target? Well, you have to pick them. And I thought I would try Small Farm Today magazine because my audience is really small farmers. And then website advertising. This is the website from Small Farm Today. And there's the URL. I checked it a couple of weeks ago. It's still on there, even though this program was in March, but free advertising now. It's already paid for. And then email advertising. Meister Media, which is the publisher for American Vegetable Grower and lots of other magazines, they also have an email blast, if you call it that, that comes out, I think it's every week. And they have little spots for ads. So you get your email with their interesting articles. I like this one, Agriculture Among Top Paying College Degrees. This is not The Onion. This is American Vegetable Grower, so this is real information. But the ads are right in there. And being a little bit market savvy, I asked them if I could have my ad in the top page, not further down the list, so if people don't scroll, they still see it. Just a little tip there. Doesn't cost any extra. And then the big one this year was Facebook marketing, and I've never done this before, so this was a new effort. So Facebook is widely used, so it's a good vehicle to reach people. Building a Facebook page, and this is not personal page, needs to be crafted carefully, not just thrown together like your own page, which can be as fancy or simple as you want. So first you build your content. Before you start advertising, you build content by making at least 3 posts per day for a week. So you're going to have at least 20, 25 posts on there so that there's content when people do start going there, led by the ads. Secondly, you start your ad campaign. That's why I have cha-ching there, because that's the point where you enter a credit card number and it starts keeping track of how much, what the costs are. Continue to post daily. So these 3 posts a day don't stop. You keep doing this every day. And then you look at the data on your ads to see what the reach is, how many people are seeing it and clicking on it, etc. And you change your ads. As soon as that starts to drop, you come out with a different ad. So the goals are likes, shares, and comments, and engagement. But my ultimate goal is more participants at my Greenhouse Tomato Short Course. I'm looking at people coming. So what is Facebook? I like this one I saw on TechTarget, a popular free social networking website that allows registered users to create profiles, upload photos and videos, send messages, keep in touch with friends, family, and colleagues. That's pretty good. That really sums it up. But if somebody had never seen Facebook, has anybody here never see it? If you looked at it for the first time, you might conclude it's an online vehicle developed for the distribution and sharing of photos and videos about cats.
Or dogs.
Or dogs. Or grandchildren. For my intents and purposes, I like the third one, which I made up. Facebook is an online tool that can be very useful for marketing events, businesses, and even extension programming. So this is a picture of my Facebook page for the short course. And you craft it carefully with a little advice from somebody more experienced. You're looking at numbers like this, your post reach, your post engagement, You want pictures with every post. You don't just want to put an informative post. You want to have a picture there because people are drawn to pictures. So in addition to all the factual stuff you can post in your three times a day, you can throw in some fun stuff too. Like this was a man in Japan who invented a robotic tomato feeding machine. This is true. So when he goes jogging or walking, it automatically feeds him a tomato every so many minutes. And other fun things. People are drawn to these. So a free Facebook page has limitations, and you can overcome the limits of free with paid ads. So getting help the first time is strongly advisable. Deciding carefully on the demographics of your target audience is really important. So when you advertise, you're not advertising to the whole world. You're advertising to certain age groups, certain geography. You can pick which states, which cities, very carefully, and then keywords. You can make a list of 50 keywords if you want, so that people who have shown an interest on Facebook for these certain keywords will see these ads popping up on their feed, their timeline. So maximize your investment by monitoring the insights and tweaking it frequently, and continue posting. You never want to stop posting. But once you have an ad campaign going, you can check it. They have insights and all kinds of data. I know you can't read this, but these are the names of different ad campaigns and the results, the cost. So you can see how successful each campaign is. And if normally we would post three different ad campaigns simultaneously, and one of them would be really good, the other two would be terrible. So within 4 or 5 days, we'd stop the other two and just go with the one. And then watch it, and over the next week or two, when its numbers started going down, boom, you put in three more ad campaigns. So here's an example of a successful post. What makes it successful? Right down here, 4,046 people reached. This is with one post. This happened to be a video on hydroponic lettuce production. So each time you post something, you want to see how well it does, so it guides you on what your next post should be. The results of Facebook marketing, first of all, to understand the terms, people engaged is the number of unique people who have clicked, liked, or commented on or shared your Facebook posts. And our effort was 90 posts, so we had those three a day, 90 posts written, 1,861 engagements, that's likes, shares, and comments, 4,446 engaged users, individual users. And the number of likes went from 0 to 6,426 in 4 months. So it's quite a bit of growth. So in the 5 months of the whole program, the Facebook page for the short course exceeded all other Facebook pages at Mississippi State for extension. So the reach, the organic, and this is a non-horticulture term. We know the horticulture term, but organic in Facebook means free. It means things that you do without paying for it. Those are organic. The paid are the paid advertising, and then the total. So the organic reach was 25,000. Just by writing posts that didn't cost a penny, there were 25,000 people reached, 38,000 for paid. I purposely tried to compete with the paid ones to see if I could keep coming up with clever posts that would exceed the paid, and I couldn't. So the paid really does get people. There's the URL for the Facebook page, and there was some funding provided by the Mississippi Bricks to Clicks program. If you're curious about that, you can go to their link. So the results, and I noticed last night that the actual percent values did not transfer when I uploaded it, but the relative values are what's really important. The most success with how did people find out about the short course in the survey was number one, through their agent or specialist. That was by far the biggest proportion. Number two, from another grower. And that's really good to know. People talk. If they have good experience with something, they tell other growers. Number three was other, and other included such things. One of the comments was, my wife told me I need to go to this. So other was a real mishmash. Number four was an internet search, and I thought that would be higher, but it wasn't. I thought people just search, like training on greenhouse tomatoes, and they would just find it. But it wasn't as high as I expected. And then number five was the Facebook page that we just discussed, and that was a direct tie with direct email. I keep my own email. Every grower I ever talk to, I have their email address. It's 27 years of collecting them, so I have my own email list. And then six was direct mail. 1 minute. I'll slow down. number six was direct mail tied with AVG, which is American Vegetable Grower Advertising. So the ones in red are the ones that cost money. So of all the ones that cost money, the Facebook page was the highest. And then the direct mail, which means mailing with a stamp on it, and American Vegetable Grower were right after those. The ones that didn't do as well for me, I did advertise in Tomato Magazine. I think it was 2% of respondents. And then the Small Farm Today magazine and Small Farm Today website both had zero. I just did not get any people coming because they saw it in those locations. And other people reported things I didn't even know it was aired on, like RFD TV. I didn't send it to them, so apparently the story was picked up somewhere else. So with that, I will promote the two programs that I've had the logos for. The Fall Flower and Garden Fest is a very large open house we do at our experiment station. It averages 4,000 to 6,000 people over a two-day period, all horticulture, and it's a free event for the public, very educational. October 16 and 17th, and there's the website. And the Greenhouse Tomato Short Course will be March 1 and 2 next year with great speakers, and there's the website and logo. And with that, I'll be happy to take a couple of questions. Yes, sir. Okay, the question is, what are the costs associated with Facebook? The range is whatever you want it to be, but the actual cost is you pay per click. It's a cost per click. So you can create your own budget. If you say, I only want to spend up to $500 in this 30-day period, you can put a cap on it. And it's wise to look at it every couple of days and see how fast that money's running out. The broader your audience is, like the more states you list, the more keywords you have, etc., the more people it's reaching, and then your cost per click is higher. But I also learned that the cost per click goes up during holiday periods because your cost is also based on how well on competing with everybody else who's paying for Facebook ads. So we actually stopped the marketing campaign for about 5 days around Thanksgiving and 5 days around Christmas because all the commercial ones are going at it, and the cost per click might go from 10 cents up to a dollar per click. So we didn't spend the money during those periods.
So how much did you spend?
The total Facebook expense on this was around $400. Robin? I can tell you what I spent, but I don't think I want to give it out here because, like American Vegetable Grower, I've been advertising with them for 20 years, and they give me a really, really good rate. So your mileage may vary. I can tell you afterward. Other questions?
Okay, let's thank Richard.
Thank you.